Solomon 2:15 says this, "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom." Well, good morning and happy Valentine's Day. You are listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and I am the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. And today is Valentine's Day, and I am sitting across the table from my wife, Debbie, and this is Valentine's Day number 37 for us.
Correct.
And we got married in March of 1986, and so if I did my math correctly, we celebrated before our marriage, and then we have been celebrating ever since, and getting ready to hit a new anniversary for us.
That's right.
So Valentine's Day, a special day, and so we want to talk about love today, and we want to talk about that verse, Song of Solomon 2:15, "Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom." You know, the Song of Solomon is all about marital love and about romance and the excitement that God wants you to have in your love and the expression, the physical love that's there. And in our world today, marriages are in trouble, and they've been in trouble for a long time. Debbie and I were privileged last week to be in Tupelo, Mississippi at the American Family Association Studios, and we shot a video piece for some training that they're doing on marriage, and we talked about roles in marriage. And Debbie, what was your takeaway from our talk at AFA?
I got to work on my role, man. No, it was a great time, and it was just a really good reminder of going back to the fact that God's blueprint for marriage is spelled out in His Word, and if we stay the course and we obey the Lord and do things the way He designed them as the manufacturer and creator of marriage, we're just going to be miles ahead. We're just going to be ahead of the game. And I think in our culture today, the way God designed marriage, number one, has been stolen away, but just the very definition culturally of what love is and how that love is expressed, it's just been kidnapped by the culture, and it's been weakened down and watered down and just cheapened. Right. And that is not at all the way God intended it. It's, you know, you've said so many times before that God doesn't put the command to be pure until you're married in there to keep you from it, keep you from sex and enjoying it, but to keep that for you. And our culture has just absolutely stolen that and weakened it and just dirtied it and cheapened it.
Well, we've lost the wonder and the kind of the mystery around it. As Kendra told us, I thought Kendra at American Family Association said to us, she's just been married, what, 4 or 5 years, something like that, and they just had their first child. But she said, you know, pornography has changed the game in marriage. And we had talked about the fact that couples today, unless you are committed to walking with the Lord, you have very little chance of your marriage succeeding, because the temptations are just off the chain. And the temptations are primarily in the area of sexual immorality and adultery. It wasn't like that before social media, you know, 20, 30 years ago, before the rise of the internet and all the things that are available. It used to just be that guys would rot out their brains on pornography, but now girls too. And the idea that, you know, when I was in high school, very few girls were super immoral. You know, you dated a girl and she had standards and we don't do this. And I didn't become a Christian until I was a senior in high school. And so the kids knew who are the girls that are participating in this, and that you had a bad reputation. You didn't want to have a bad reputation if you were a girl, obviously. And the others didn't do that. Nowadays, it's kind of like a first date. It's just kind of a given that we're going to end up in bed. So everything is turned on its head. And as you said, Debbie, you know, when you don't follow the manufacturer's guidelines for use of the product, you get yourself in trouble. I shared on the video that we did, you know, when it comes to your automobile, you know, the manufacturer will tell you, well, this is how the engine works. You put gasoline in the engine so it goes. Now, if you say, well, I don't want to do that, it's too expensive, it's too much trouble, I'm just going to put water in the gas tank. Well, you can do that if you want, but it's not going to work. And it's going to end up just sitting in your garage because the thing won't run that way. It wasn't designed that way. And we're trying to make marriage fit our wants, our needs, our desires, and God didn't set it up that way.
Well, it's interesting that you talked about the fact, you brought up the word morality just a few minutes ago, and it I don't think that is on the radar for so many younger people in our culture. That word morality, it's just not on the radar screen because they have been conditioned to, I make my own rules. I do what I want to do to make me happy. There is not some other guiding force or set of rules that overshadow everything else. That has been stolen away as well. And so I think that's part of the reason that people are in the mess that they're in. Because they don't even recognize that there's an owner's manual. They don't even recognize that.
Right. Yeah, so there is an owner's manual. God did design marriage. He defined marriage. He sets up the parameters for marriage. This will produce a healthy, fulfilling, wonderful marriage. And it's doing it this way, God's way. If you do it your own way, and you're free to do it your own way, but it's never going to work. It's always going to leave you empty and lacking and broken down on the side of the road, so to speak, using that car illustration, because God didn't design it that way. And, you know, we were talking about, I was talking to Bishop Jackson about culture, and we try and make everything about skin culture. And I said, here's the thing, regardless of the color of your skin, if you choose to be immoral, irresponsible, violent, and, you know, just selfish and taking what you want and treating people like dirt, that's never going to work because God didn't set up life like that. And in marriage, if you say, I'm going to do it my way, it's all about me, well, it's not going to work. Your partner is just as selfish as you are, and your partner's not going to like that. And so we need to go back to the Bible and see, okay, how did God design this? How did he define it? And we have roles, as we talked about, Debbie. We have roles. The husband's role is to love his wife and to lead his wife. And the wife's role is to help her husband and respect her husband. And that's how God designed it. And if you take on your role and say, okay, I'm going to fulfill my role. I'm not going to look to my spouse to fulfill his or her role. I'm going to work on me to work on my role. And so my role to you, Debbie, is to love you as Christ loved the church, to nourish you, to cherish you, and to lead you, to take the spiritual lead in our home and lovingly lead by through servant leadership.
Well, and what's interesting is if we go back to that verse that we kind of started the whole program off with today, it's not usually one big catastrophic thing that causes the demise of a marriage. It's the little things all along the way. And you used that verse in the Song of Solomon about the little foxes, catch the foxes, the little foxes. And if you think about a fox, just by definition of what they look like, they're not very large. They're mm-hmm. like 10 to 15 pounds. That's like a really small dog. So it's not
a
like
a really big cat.
Yeah, a really big cat. But they're very sly. They're very subtle. They're very sneaky. So it's not necessarily their size that's the issue. It's the character that's the issue. And you can think about that when we let those little things in marriage go unattended, that's when we start to get in trouble. And I ran across a great quote by Paul David Tripp that said this: we don't just live in big, important moments. We make only a few grand decisions in our entire lives. We live in little moments. So the character of our relationships isn't set by three or four big moments, but by the 10,000 little moments of life. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, that is pretty spot on, because it's the day to day to day to day. That's what can get us into trouble. And we start in our relationships to get complacent and to not catch those little foxes, to not take the energy to deal with those little foxes. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, just like the verse says, our vineyard's ruined.
Right. Well, Solomon talks about that in Proverbs. He says in Proverbs 24, I passed by the field of the sluggard. That's a good biblical word for just a lazy person. I passed by the field of the sluggard and the vineyard, and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. So he sees just this broken down, weeded out vineyard that doesn't look anything like what a vineyard's supposed to look like. And he says, and when I saw, I reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction. And this was the instruction. This is what the Lord told Solomon. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come in as a robber and your want like an armed man. It's exactly what you said, Debbie. It's the little things that we're not dealing with. So just a little bit of sleep, just a little bit of compromise, a little bit of slumber, a little bit of, well, I'll get to that later. We'll talk about that issue tomorrow. And the problem is tomorrow never comes. And so little by little by little, how do marriages fail? Little by little by little.
Right. A little hurt that isn't addressed becomes a big hurt, you know, over time. And it just gets embellished in our minds. And then we keep adding on to that. Right. So that hurt takes us on a scale of 1 to 10. That first hurt takes us maybe to a 3. Then the next hurt takes us to a 5. And all of a sudden, the tiniest little thing, and we're at a 12, and we're just exploding on each other. And so it really does go back to just those little bitty things that can in and of themselves not seem real significant, but when you get a plate full of them, you've got a mess. Or even when you have one little thing that continues to grow and grow and grow and grow and fester,
right,
it can really bring wreck and havoc to your marriage and to your relationship.
Yeah, well, we have that expression, it's the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
You know, in marriage, if you keep adding straw to the marriage, you keep adding a weight on the marriage and you're not dealing with it. So in that little meter illustration, so 0 is everything is great in the marriage, we're in a good place, we're at peace with one another. 10 is we're at each other's throats. Well, Debbie, as you said, along the way that something is said, okay, that kind of got me jostled up to a 2, and then we never got the 2 back down to 0, and so then something else happened and now I'm at a 4. Well, a 4 doesn't mean I'm going ballistic. It just means I'm irritated, but maybe I'm hiding it well. You're not really seeing that I'm irritated. And then something else happens. Now all of a sudden I'm at 6 and it keeps going up and I'm at 8. And if you're riding around at an 8 on the ballistic meter, it doesn't take much.
A little piece of straw.
Just another, you know, spill the coffee and then I go nuts. And people are like, what in the world? You know, I think about Andy Bernard when he punched the wall in The Office. Right. That was an overreaction, as
right.
he said.
Right.
Well, what happened? Jim had been messing with him, and that meter was going up until he exploded.
Well, and it just takes the joy out of your relationship. If your meter is continuing to rise, your joy meter is continuing to go down.
Uh-huh.
Well,
there's no peace.
That's right. There's no peace.
And you're just agitated, and you're just on edge. I think when you started birth control, when we first got married, that was putting you on edge.
That was just an ugly, ugly situation.
And so sometimes we can have things like that where some things are not right in our body chemistry, and
right.
it can put us at about an 8 or 9.
Yeah, just sitting there constantly.
Yeah.
It's a horrible way to live.
Yeah, those three.
If I could have gotten away from me, I would have.
Well, I know some guys deal with their wives' PMS, and that can be a very trying time.
Sure. For her, too. She doesn't enjoy it either.
No, but she's just on edge. Well, this is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my wife, Debbie. And we are celebrating Valentine's Day, and we're talking about how to have a marriage that goes the distance and to catch the foxes, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyard. We'll be right back.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association. But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
What do normal human beings want for a six-year-old?
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
To be loved, to be protected, to be shielded from some of the ugliness in the world. But you got these nutcases who want to push on a six-year-old that you are inherently evil because of the color of your skin.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
Live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Hello?
Hey, stranger.
Oh, hi. Thank goodness it's you. I was afraid to answer the phone.
Why? What's up?
The credit card companies are after me. They want me to make payments and the calls never stop.
Ouch. Been there before, but I got help from Trinity Debt Management.
Trinity?
Yeah. I called and right away, Trinity contacted my creditors and got my interest rates cut in half. They ended all the late fees and over-limit charges, and they stopped those annoying phone calls.
Bet that was a relief.
Yep. Then they put me on a plan that consolidated my bills into one easy monthly payment. That way, I paid off my debt fast while saving thousands.
Nice.
Trinity even showed me how to plan and meet a monthly budget. So now, I'm debt-free for keeps.
Wow. Do you still have their number?
Sure. Here, write this down and call 1-800-788-1813.
Can you repeat that?
1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie, and we're celebrating Valentine's Day on the air this morning, and we're looking at Song of Solomon 2:15, which is an important verse for married couples. Catch the foxes for us. This is Solomon's bride telling him that, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. She's not talking about an actual vineyard. She's talking about the vineyard of their love as their love blooms. The little foxes, those little things, those little sneaky things come into our marriage and they chew up the love and they cause us to lose our romance and our joy in our marriage. And as the old expression goes, if the ideal becomes an ordeal, many people look for a new deal. And that's what we are seeing in the world today. We're seeing that in America. We're seeing that in the church. Lots of Christians. I've known lots of people over the years, and guys that you think, man, that guy's a good guy. He's got a good heart for the Lord. He does terrible in marriage. And I think it's just two things, Debbie: selfishness and wanting to control the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And women don't like to be controlled.
No, let's just even go back to the garden. It started way back. It's not a new concept.
No. So one of the little foxes that ruined the vineyard of marriage that we haven't talked about yet is unrealistic expectations. And Debbie, our friend Tim Downs, who's a family life speaker on marriage, he's also an author and just a really smart guy and great guy. He said this, one of the reasons marriage is so hard is because we go into it thinking it's going to be so easy. Mm-hmm. And it's not.
Right.
I think couples, as one guy said, you know, marriage is kind of like flies on a windowsill. Those on the outside are trying to get in, and those on the inside are trying to get out. And I think, you know, that's tongue-in-cheek, obviously. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times it's because this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I remember one guy who had a lot of struggles in his marriage. He said, I never dreamed that marriage was going to be this difficult. You know, guys go into marriage thinking, man, this is like, hey, now it's okay for me to desire this girl that I love, and it's under the confines of marriage, and we can, you know, just have sex as much as we want. And guys think like that. Girls aren't thinking like that, are they?
No, we're not thinking like that. Girls are thinking more along the lines of just this feeling, euphoric feeling of just love and closeness and intimacy. And we think back, you know, to the dating time when we were getting so much of your attention during that dating time, right? I mean, you know, you would call us, you would talk to us. In today's age, you would just continually be texting each other back and forth. And when we did communicate, you were really listening to me. You were just so in tune and wanting to spend time with me. And you romanced me, you cherished me, you did all those things. And so we just think, okay, well, that's just going to continue on. That's just the way it's always going to be. And life happens then, you mm-hmm. know, because now it's like, okay, you know, we're in the reality of what life is. And so you're working, I'm working, you know, we each have all these other things pulling at our time and pulling for our attention. And those things that you did when we were dating sometimes tend to take a back seat. Mm-hmm. And so women have a very unrealistic expectation of how we are going to be treated.
Right.
You know, and that can really bring about disappointment and frustration and hurt and
disrespect.
Right.
Because
if
you're not feeling loved and cherished and nourished and treated like a queen and courted and all those things that happened when we were dating.
Right. Yeah. And we can seem so independent. We can come across as so independent, but we're really at the core extremely needy. I mean, we just are because we need you to validate us. We need you to spend time with us, quality time with us.
Right.
Where we're not, you know, fighting for your attention with your cell phone or with your iPad or whatever it may be. And so we are very, very needy creatures. We truly are.
Well, and I think the unrealistic expectation for most guys going into marriage, this is what they don't realize. And we've talked about this with couples we've counseled before marriage. Listen, if you're not having a struggle saying no to the physical before mm-hmm. you get married, something is wrong there.
That's a red flag.
Because there, as you get closer and closer to the wedding date, you know, you want to obviously remaining pure is paramount, but the difficulty there, it needs to be there.
Right.
If it's like, I never have any struggles, I'm not interested in her that way, she's not interested in me that way, it's like, well, that's not all of a sudden going to flip a switch when you get married. So if that's not there, if the physical desire is not there, something is wrong. But here's the thing that guys don't realize. What you are doing in the dating phase, you are filling your bride-to-be's emotional tank. When a woman has her emotional tank filled, when she feels nourished and cherished and loved and valued, she responds with desire for you physically. It just does something to her heart. You get married and you quit filling up the emotional tank, then she doesn't desire you physically. And most guys are left scratching their head saying, what happened? My expectation going into marriage was, you know, this desire that we've had to say no to, that was just going to be unleashed like a team of horses you let out of the barn, and then we're just going to run all over the prairie. I mean, it's going to be awesome. And then all of a sudden, it's not like that. And as one guy said, I think somebody put something in the wedding cake. I mean, so talk about that, Debbie. Why do you think it's hard for guys to understand that when we don't fill up the emotional tank, the physical is not there.
Well, because I think although guys do have an emotional tank, they do, the bigger tank that they have is the respect tank. And so because God just designed us so differently, you know, he put part of himself in a man and part of himself in a woman, and together we complete each other, and we are wired so differently. Our needs are very, very different. And I think because a man, his love tank is smaller than his respect tank, he can think that he is doing those things. He can think that he is showing love, but it's not necessarily translating to the female that mm-hmm. that is in fact what he's doing. And it goes back to the fact that, okay, you can be doing all these things for me, but if that doesn't speak my love language, and if that doesn't make me feel loved, if that doesn't make me feel cherished, right, then good for you for doing them, but it still isn't meeting my need.
Right.
And so we have to be able to communicate through those things, to talk to each other so that we can have open communication to figure out, okay, how do I best communicate love to you, Debbie? What am I doing that is working, that is communicating, that is making you feel cherished? Okay, what are the things I'm doing that, although they may be great things, they don't necessarily fill your love tank?
Yeah, I don't really care about that. And so if a guy's love language is not acts of service,
right,
so spending hours and hours and hours, maybe slaving over a hot stove or whatever, look what I did for you. Mm-hmm. And his love language is physical touch.
Right.
It's like, that's nice, but that's not really, that doesn't cause the meter to go up on the love, you know, the love tank. And so, and then she doesn't understand, well, I did all this for you and you don't even seem to care about it.
Right.
And it's not that he doesn't appreciate it. It's just he appreciates other things
doesn't.
More. And vice versa for the woman.
Right. And I think an offshoot of that is another little fox, and that is just selfishness. We can easily just get so caught up in our own wants, our own needs, our own desires, that we become very self and inward focused, as opposed to other focused, and putting our spouse ahead of ourselves. And I think back to the early years in our marriage, and you know, if you would have asked me early on, you know, Debbie, do you think you struggle with selfishness? My answer would have been, well, no, I don't struggle with that. Until we had our first daughter, and then I realized what a selfish pig I was, right? Because it was like,
no,
all
not
the
a pig.
Well, I was bad, you know, because it was like, wow, I don't get to do anything I want to do anymore. You know, Jeff's needs and Jill's needs, they're dominating my entire life right now, mm-hmm. you know, and so it's so easy for both parties to just become so wrapped up in self that we don't seek to meet the other person's needs.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting, too, in Ephesians 5, which is the strongest New Testament passage on the roles of men and women and what a husband's to do and what a wife's to do. And before it tells us that, it tells us to be filled with Holy Spirit.
Right.
Do not get drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, because you're not going to be able to do marriage God's way and experience all the love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control without the power of the Holy Spirit. And marriage is hard because the man is a sinner and the woman is a sinner.
The man's maybe a bigger sinner.
Yeah, he's bigger physically. And, you know, you put two sinners together and you're going to have trouble. As one guy said, what is marriage? You know, marriage is one tick marrying another tick. And we suck off the other one, and we think, well, I'm going to just be able to live off you. And the wife is thinking, well, I'm going to be able to live off you. You're going to make me happy. No, you're going to make me happy. As one person says, what is marriage? It's two ticks and no dog. There is no other. So we have to look to the Lord. And so I have to love you when you're not very lovable. How do I do that? Only through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I see my role as loving and leading you as this is how I serve the Lord. And a wife has to see, well, I need to respect him even if he's not respectable. And how do I do that? Where do I get the power to do that? Because there's nothing in my flesh that wants to do that. Has to be from the Holy Spirit. And that's why we love in the Lord and we submit in the Lord and we lead in the Lord. We do all that through the Lord.
In your flesh, you can love when you feel like loving.
Right.
Right? I mean, when everything's going well, you can in your flesh love. Because in our flesh, we have the capability of some small level of loving. But that's why it's so important that we be sold out to the Lord. And, you know, we counsel people all the time in that premarital counseling. You make sure that the person that you're wanting to marry loves God more than they love you. Because if they don't, they do not have the capacity within themselves to love you unconditionally, to cherish you, to respect you. They don't have that in themselves because they're too caught up in their own selfishness and to me. And so we can, on really good days, we can love in our flesh when everything's just going real smoothly. But when any little glitch comes along, it takes the supernatural power of the Right. Holy Spirit to enable us to love, to cherish, to respect, to honor, to do those things in marriage that the manufacturer's guide tells us we need to do. We can't do that in our flesh. We simply don't have the strength to do that.
No, as one person said, you know, what is obedience? Obedience to the Lord is not when he says, go here, and you said, yeah, that's where I want to go. It's when he says, go here, and you say, I don't want to go there.
Right.
Then that's when obedience comes in. It's not my will, but yours be done. If our wills are all the same, then we're not really having to obey because I'm just going along with my will. It just happens to match God's will at that time. But God is going to say to us, hey, I want you to do this. Go to that person you wronged, make things right. Oh, I don't want to do that. And then it becomes a battle of the wills. And the Christian life is really lived, not my will, but yours be done. So in marriage, when we have a difficulty and the Lord says, Jeff, love Debbie. She needs extra love right now. But Lord, she's not lovable. Yeah, but you do it through me. And this is what I'm asking you to do and commanding you to do. And so I say, yes, Lord. And I do it in his power. And I tell the Lord, Lord, she's not very lovable right now. I'm not feeling any love. But at your bidding, that's what Peter said mm-hmm. to the Lord when he said, throw out your nets in the deep water for a catch. Lord, we've been fishing all night and caught nothing, but at your word, I will do it. So, Lord, at your word, I will do it. And I'm trusting you to give me the feelings and the right heart attitude to do that because I don't have that in and of myself.
Well, and that's true the reverse too. Women, hey, when your husband's not acting respectable, that isn't your card to be able to not respect him. You know, that command that we're to respect our husbands is an unconditional command. And so we can only do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and seeking the Lord to enable us to be submissive, to continue to be that helper, to respect him, and allow God to make in him the man that he wants him to be. Because we can't make him the man God wants him to be. That's a work of the Holy Spirit too. And it's just so important that we're surrendered. You know, I say this in Bible studies that I teach all the time. At the end of everything, it comes down to the heart. Mm-hmm. Is our heart individually, are our hearts surrendered to the Lord? Are we seeking to be obedient to him above all else? Because if we're not doing that, we're going to have havoc in every area of our lives.
Yeah, and we have to, it's not just like, well, I'll do this and God, I immediately expect this result. The Lord says, hey, you're going to have to do it over time. It's
right.
Consistent behavior over time that yields trust and it yields the good results that we want. Here's the wonderful thing. If a husband will love his wife as Christ loved the church, over time she'll respond to that. And if a woman will respect her husband, 1 Peter 3:1, says you can win him without a word as he observes your chaste and respectful behavior, because that's the way God set it up. A woman responds to love, a man responds to respect. Well, we're going to open the phone lines when we come back from the break. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to talk to you this Valentine's Day morning about the subject of little foxes, catching those little foxes so they don't chew up the vineyard of your love. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my wife, Debbie. Call in and let's talk.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
Let's be real. Retirement is expensive, and inflation is making it even harder with the cost of everything going up, from pet food to a dozen eggs. Wouldn't it be great if the cost of your health care could go down? Well, MediShare 65 Plus is $99 a month for ages 65 to 74. And for many with Medicare Parts A and B, looking at other options, that's 50% or more saved per month. No gimmicks. It's $99 a month, and you can use any Medicare-approved doctor or facility, and you get 24/7 access to telehealth from the convenience of your home. Better yet, MediShare is a Christian nonprofit organization. It's a community that'll pray for you and encourage you. And since we've cut out the middleman, you get to keep the savings. Call now. You can learn more about MediShare 65 Plus. Here's the number, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
I've traveled a lot. I've met with people from all over the country.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my wife, Debbie. We're talking about Song of Solomon 2:15 on this Valentine's Day morning. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards while our vineyards are in blossom. And what are those little foxes that we deal with? Well, we've been talking about unrealistic expectations. We've been talking about unresolved conflict. We've been talking about selfishness. What else did we hit, Debbie, that's so critical? We've been talking about our roles, not doing what God has called us to do.
Well, just not being surrendered to the Lord.
Yeah, that's kind of a big
problem. That's an elephant, isn't it? Yeah. But we have talked about that. So.
But it's the little things in marriage and life. You know, the old expression, the devil's in the details. If you don't watch the details and if you don't watch the little things, I'm looking for the big things. The little things bite you, and little things become big things, and little foxes can do a lot of damage.
I think that is true, though, in terms of our surrendering to the Lord. It normally isn't one big act. It's a little surrender. It's a little deviation here, a little right. disobedience here, a little disobedience there. And then all of a sudden, on a big thing, we are willing to be disobedient. So I think to some extent that does apply, although being disobedient to the Lord, I'm in complete agreement with you that that's not a little fox. That's a real big thing.
Right. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Casting Crowns, Debbie, when you're talking about those little things, they have a song called It's a Slow Fade. And it talks about those little things. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's the second glance that ties your hands as darkness pulls the strings. Be careful, little feet, where you go, for it's the little feet behind you that are sure to follow. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white have turned to gray. Thoughts invade, choices are made, a price will be paid. When you give yourself away, people never crumble in a day. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. That's so true. That's mm-hmm. the little things. That's exactly what Solomon said. I looked at that broken down vineyard, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And then what do you have? Disaster. Your poverty comes in like a robber and your need like an armed man. Well, we have Bobby Joe on the line from Texas. Bobby Joe, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. Eventually, I'm coming to Texarkana to hug your neck. But for today, I have literally defiled my own marriage bed, and I know it's my own fault. But I love this woman. I really want to biblically know how to restore what I've done to myself. Can you help me with that?
Yes. How long was the infidelity going on?
Four years now.
4 years. Okay. Did she just find out about it?
No. It's me and her. It's us. It's not with another one. I've laid in bed with her before marriage.
We
were supposed to get married May 20th of this year, and now she's just like the little foxes. It's just I can't please her. I don't feel respected. She doesn't feel loved, and I've done it to myself.
Yeah. Well, man, I feel bad for you, Bobby Joe, and I appreciate you being honest about things. You can't undo the past. You can't unscramble eggs. All you can do is from right now is get your heart right with God and confess that sin to Him, and receive His forgiveness, and then ask her, confess to her, and say, "Hey, I haven't done right. I haven't been the leader, the spiritual leader. I haven't led you correctly. And, I've taken from you what is not mine," because a woman's purity belongs to her husband. And until you become her husband, if you're engaging in sexual relations before you're married, even if she's a willing participant, you're still taking from her what's not yours, because that belongs to her husband. And until you become her husband, you can't take that. You have to secure that, and you have to keep that pure. And if we don't do that, what we don't realize, I think, so much of the time as guys, you're hurting her, and she is subconsciously registering that you're not protecting me and you're not protecting my purity.
Right, and I think over time it weakens her respect for you, because she wants you to lead. Even if she's sending you the message that she's completely independent, she can do everything on her own, she wants you to be the leader. And it sends the message that that your own needs, your own desires are more important than hers, and it just weakens the relationship on so many levels. And we have said this to couples before in terms of pre-marriage counseling. When you sleep with someone before you're married, when you have sex with someone before you're married, what it tells that other person is, I'm willing to sleep with someone and have sex with someone I'm not married to. So it just, from the very beginning and from the onset, it can bring about insecurities that you may not even be aware of initially, but it's one of those little things that sneaks in, those insecurities. And so I would just urge you to go before her, humble yourself, apologize, and make a real commitment, number one, to the Lord, in terms that you're going to follow His manufacturer's guide for what needs to take place in your relationship, and to do things His way. And as difficult as that is, to be faithful to that, to be faithful, to be obedient to the Lord.
Well, here's a scripture verse that I refer to a lot to Bobby Joe, Psalm 32, verse 5. This is David after he sinned terribly with Bathsheba. He said, I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. So we don't have to live in guilt and shame over our sins. We just confess them. We get them. We agree with God. We get them out of the shadows and under His blood. And He does forgive. And then we claim that forgiveness and go out in that word from the Lord. As He told the prostitute that wept at His feet, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So, Bobby Joe, I'll be praying for you. Please keep in touch and let me know how that goes. You can get me through the radio station, or you can get me through the church, fbctexarkana.org or fromhisheart.org. I'd love to hear and to help you any way I can.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for your honesty. Well, we have Melanie on the line from Tennessee. Melanie, good morning, and welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, I was just calling. First of all, I really, really enjoy your show, especially when Debbie's there with you. And how very well I can relate to the hormone issues, both the birth control and the going through the change. And I'm so thankful that my husband was an avid outdoorsman. He didn't leave me, but he left me. He left me for the great outdoors. So that was his outlet. And I didn't even know I was angry, you know, but, you know, going from 8 to 10 when you're sitting on 8. But she put it very well. If I could have left myself, I sure would have.
Well, I think
y'all do a really great job, and I appreciate you.
Thank you so much. And Debbie, don't you think a lot of women feel like that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're victims of our hormones. I mean, you know, we don't necessarily get to choose that. You know, because I can remember, especially when I was on that birth control, I would be so short-tempered with you, and I would be immediately convicted. And I would think, Lord, I was just so disrespectful. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I would even ask you to forgive me. And I think, okay, I'm going to do better. I'm going to do better. And then 5 seconds later, I would do the same thing again. You know, and I think, I can't even control myself. What on earth is going on? It's a horrible feeling. Mm-hmm. It's just awful.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Melanie. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for your kind words. And the Lord bless you and your marriage and your family. And I hope you have a great Valentine's Day with your husband. Well, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards. You know, as we talked about in the first segment, the unresolved conflict is huge in marriage because many couples have issues that they don't really talk through. And those aren't fun conversations.
No.
Nobody likes that.
They take a lot of energy. They take a lot of emotional energy.
And most guys, they're kind of like, if the wife says, let's talk, you know, let's just watch TV. Let's play Scrabble. Let's let's do something else. Let's do something fun. But let's talk means I'm upset with you about something and we need to get this worked out.
Right.
So that's hard for husbands, but it's very, very important. That's why women are a lot more open to going to marriage counseling than a man is, because a man's like, well, what do they know? And it's like, well, you'd be surprised. And here's the thing about going to a counselor, and you have to be careful who you go to.
Oh, for sure.
You want to go to somebody that's not just Christian in name only, but he's going to counsel you from the scriptures. But here's the thing. Going to see someone, a pastor or a Christian counselor, they have an unbiased perspective about your relationship. That you're blinded to it. She's blinded to it. You see it from your perspective. She sees it from her perspective. You need somebody that can look at it from all perspectives. As our pastor, Damon Shook, said, you know, truth, the real truth is always in the middle.
Right.
There's this person's perspective of it and that person's perspective of it, and it's really in the middle is where the issue is.
You know, Jeff, another little fox that we haven't talked about, which we are seeing more and more today, is just the misplaced priority in marriage where the kids take priority in a marriage over the marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. And our culture promotes that so much, to just, you know, the helicopter parent, to just be hovering over your kids all the time, and to make that relationship the fundamental, foundational relationship in the home. And that just leads to such dysfunction in the home, because the best thing you can give your kids is a healthy marriage, and for them to know that your marriage relationship, second to your relationship with the Lord, is the most important relationship that you have. That brings your child such a security. And in so many homes, moms are looking to kids to fill their emotional needs, and they're over-engaged in their lives. Both mom and dad are over-engaged in their lives, oftentimes so that they don't necessarily have to deal with each other. You know, their focus is on the kids so that they don't have to have any kind of focus time with each other. But I just see that so much, these child-centered homes that really place a lot of burden on a child that they should never have to have, and just on a foundational level just cause the marriage to be real shaky.
Yeah, you just can't build it on that. And your kids are passing through.
Hopefully. Sometimes they boomerang, come back.
Well, if you've done your job, you know, you grow up your kids, you train them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, and they're well-adjusted, they love the Lord, and, you know, I mean, kids have to choose for themselves. You can do everything right. Nobody does, but you could theoretically do everything right, and the kid still has to decide for himself, am I going to lead a surrendered life to the Lord or not? So parents don't need to beat themselves up over, I did such a terrible job as a parent. Even if you did a terrible job as a parent, beating yourself up over it doesn't help anybody. It just puts you in a funk and makes you a depressed person. So you got to say, okay, this happened. I blew it here. Where do I go from there? It's like the caller just phoned in about, hey, I've blown it in my dating relationship, and now it's, you know, I'm reaping the bitter harvest of the seeds that I planted. How do you fix it? Well, all you have is right now to make it right, get things right with God, get things right with the person that you wounded, and seek forgiveness. And consistent behavior over time yields trust. So if you're out there and your marriage is a disaster, and you're hanging on by a thread, and you say, well, this is all great, but the little foxes have chewed everything up. There's no more fruit in the vineyard. Where do we go from here? Here's the thing, Romans 15:13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is the God of might and miracle.
And second chances.
And second chances, and third chances, and fourth chances, and 500th chances. And the scripture says, the Lord says, all day long I've stretched out my hand to a disobedient and obstinate people. Hey, if we'll respond to the Lord, we'll be amazed at how he can turn things around in us and in our marriage and in our family. It's not going to be immediate most of the time, but the work is going to be done immediately, and we'll see it over time. So be encouraged, and don't be discouraged. And have a great Valentine's Day. Thank you for being with us today on Real Truth for Today. I look forward to being with you tomorrow. Go out, shine and share, and let God use you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.